Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Thanks, Brody. Good evening, everyone. It is Friday, March 22nd, 2019. The San Jose Sharks, good news, they picked up a point. Bad news, they didn't win. The Sharks lose their fifth straight, this time in the overtime variety, 4-3 over the Anaheim Ducks. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. We do this after every game. Have we had hiccups? Well, so the Sharks, but apparently YouTube's been having some, so we appreciate you following us to the new YouTube link, but nonetheless, be part of the show. There are multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us, and fellow Sharks fans on the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. By all means, you can also hit us on Twitter using the hashtag, or just add us at TealTownUSA. And of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, Stitcher, of course, and YouTube. We thank nearly the 1,260 subscribers that have followed us to here tonight. So joining me tonight, the other guy who spells his name the right way, Mr. Eric Landy.
Well, thank you for the sentiment of a good night, but you know, the whole thing was not that great. So yeah, I don't know. I can't muster a lot right now.
Playoffs? Yeah.
It's going sideways, going quick.
It's really a frustrating feeling right now. You know, it's just one of those times that you just get frustrated by it and terrified, because this is something that we've seen them do before and have done it again. This is the longest stretch now of futility for this team this season, and it doesn't help that you have Pavelski out. It doesn't help that you have EK65 out. You know, we got Couture back tonight, which was nice. It's good to see. But, you know, again, this is one of those things, you know, and Rocket saying you can't do anything against the virus. You know, so let's get into it. The Sharks finishing up a two-game road trip, the road trip we've all been waiting for LA and Anaheim back-to-back on the road trip. We saw plenty of Sharks fans there. I know Teal City Crew had a big old group thing, but I know our own Kevin Lacey and former writer Drew Weber were down in Anaheim tonight. We hope you guys had fun down there no matter what. But let's get into it. 7:58. Off of a Burns turnover, Rickard Rakell gets his 12th of the season from Silverberg and Getzlaf to get things going for the Mighty Quackers. 1-0 Anaheim.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that goal and you feel like, uh-oh, it's last night's game all over again. You know, honestly, they just looked sluggish, you know, coming out of it tonight, and I don't know what it is. I can't put exactly what my finger on it is, but you know, it just seems like this is a team that doesn't have the mojo going right now.
Yeah. And almost like they're trying to overimpress, you know, and that's the tough part. And you shouldn't need to. Because let's be real here. No matter if it's a spinorama or a dirty garbage goal, you scored a freaking goal. So get back at it. Moving downward onto the first period, Manson takes an interference call on Donskoy at 9:40, sets up a power play for the Sharks. And I think I've seen more pucks fly right a full length of the ice and that one more than anything in the Sharks power play. Yeah, they got one later, but my goodness. 15:46, Richie would take a hooking call, sets up another power play for the Sharks, and nothing goes there. And then of course at 19:39, Burns takes a tripping call. The Ducks don't do anything on that one. in the, as that sets into the second period. But first period overall, 9-8 the shots in favor of San Jose. Anaheim was leading the faceoff circle 54-46, and both teams were 0-4 on the power play. What did you take from the first, Landy?
Yeah, the power play is spinning its wheels. I don't understand what the incessant need is to pass, pass, pass. I just feel like they're, right now, they're giving up good opportunities to shoot the puck. I mean, Evander Kane, I vividly remember him passing up opportunities to shoot. I mean, having wide open lanes to the net to try and get a puck on net and try and create some rebounds and stuff. And that's how you have to play against John Gibson. And you know what? It's just, they're not, I think both offensively and defensively, they're not trusting in their system at the moment.
Okay. It is frustrating. I remember one of my friends saying, no passy passy and more shooty shooty. I mean, to kind of sugarcoat it a little bit, but I mean, it's right. We've seen these drop passes. We've seen these behind the back passes, and sometimes they work, but you need to get your crap together. Looking at it, I'm going to put up another jersey bet. It seems like, last time San Jose had multiple power play goals in a game was February 21st in Pittsburgh. And like Matt Dinan says in there, we are way too predictable. You know, and Anthony Sanchez, they need to practice their power plays and PK. Completely agree. It's just ridiculous. But things got going in the second period. They tie the game up 1-1. Kevin LeBanc, his 14th from Vlasic and Sorensen at 2:29. Seems like they kind of got things going there, Landy, after LeBanc scored.
Yeah. I think that second period looked like they got a little bit of whatever, whatever they need to kind of kick it into gear. And they had a little bit of it. But again, you know, they just want to make it more difficult for themselves. Turnovers in the neutral zone, turnovers in the defensive zone. And right now, again, you know, it's just a team that is fighting it. And I don't know if it's a confidence thing, if it's tired. Yesterday, they looked like a team that was resolved to play Vegas in the first round. You know, they looked like a team that really did not want to go for the, you know, for the Pacific Division crown. And tonight, you know, the beginning of the game, it was a little bit more of the same. In the second, you know, they could start to see them coming around a little bit. But again, I mean, just not a lot of offensive zone sustained time. They were getting really beaten to pucks, I mean, by the Ducks. And just, again, it just, you wonder where the dedication is to playing, you know, a good defensive scheme. You wonder where, you know, their entries into the zone, how that has shifted so poorly. It seems now, instead of passing it into the zone, it's these one-on-one plays. It's Timo Meier trying to hold up at the blue line. It's Logan trying to chip it and then go past the defender and get it himself. You look at Hurdle, he's making more and more of these dekes. Again, they're not playing as a cohesive five-man unit. They're playing as individual players right now.
Do you wonder if it's more puck possession and trying to be a little more defensive by having the puck more? And maybe as they were trying to beforehand, perhaps like out scoring their defensive woes.
You know, the thing is, even if that is the case, it's way too late in the season, you know, to be trying to do that. Yeah, you know, right now, this is the time of year where you need to tighten up. You know, you need to only allow two goals. You know, two goals is really how this team, you know, really sustained a period of excellent play. Is they, right. They were just not allowing as many goals. They were really stingy at the blue line. They held up incoming players, you know, really stood up well. And right now I'm not seeing that in their game. And right now, to me, it looks like a lack of commitment to the defensive game. They look like a team trying not to be hurt going into the postseason. That's what it looks like to me. It's like they're at 75% throttle right now.
And that's the thing. And we've heard many people get criticized the Warriors that they're just waiting for the playoffs. Has that sunk? Do you think maybe that's sunk into San Jose a little bit? Like they're kind of like pulling back on the gas pedal to get that. They know they're in. They know they're in. Yeah. They still have a shot at the division, but they know that they're just in and they're good to go.
Honestly, that's from their play so far. That is exactly what I'm thinking, that there's a level of complacency that's set into this team right now. You know, they for all intents and purposes have basically backed in to the playoffs. Yeah. They banked a lot of points early, but you know, you want to go in with a 3-game or 4-game winning streak. And right now this is crunch time, you know, that they don't have a lot of time to tinker with the way that they play. They don't have a lot of time to tinker with schemes. And quite frankly, they don't have enough time to fix this PK unless they get going now. It's no longer, you know, about really trying to win a Pacific Division crown. It's literally tuning up the special teams, which are piss poor right now.
Yeah. To put in perspective, everything to count, including tonight after that Pittsburgh game. So I guess it was starting with the Columbus game in late February, the Sharks are 6-35 on the power play. Their opponents are 12-37 when the Sharks are on the penalty kill. So essentially one out of every three chances. Now, granted, they didn't allow any penalties against LA last night. They'd have allowed 5 power play goals in their last 3 games, a total of 5-49 against Vegas, LA, and Anaheim. And so you guys got to get your crap together because it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt in no time. Holzer took a penalty at 12:34. That was pretty much your stats through two periods there, as not much happened except for LeBanc tying this game up at 1-1, as we mentioned before. We go to the third period, and that's when things started opening up a little bit. However, Joakim Ryan, who I think once EK65 gets back, boy, howdy, I think he's going to enjoy the press box a little bit more. He takes a hooking call at 105. That leads to a power play goal from Adam Henrique, his 18th from Terry and Silverberg at 241. What did you think of the penalty? What did you think of Henrique on that one to give the Ducks a 2-1 lead?
Well, it's a penalty. I mean, you take it in the defensive zone. So, I mean, as far as that goes, it's kind of a run-of-the-mill penalty. But you wonder why Melker went back in with the arm, you know, to make that extra hold. You know, he already had, you know, taken his man out of the play, and yet he feels like he has to go in there again with the loose arm. You know, it's these consistent self-inflicted wounds that have continually plagued this team. It was a hallmark in the first half and really the first quarter of the season, where they would just make it difficult for themselves. And now we're starting to see it again. And I don't know if that's because they are more committed to trying to play this offensive style and they really don't want anything to do with the defensive aspects of the game. But, you know, it's not good. And right now, like I said before, the PK is not good enough. If you go from 10th to 19th in one day, I mean, that should really tell you something about how, you know, and let's not even forget that this team a month and a half ago was third overall PK wise.
Even tinkered with number one for a moment.
Yeah. And so when it comes down to crunch time, when it comes down to being in the playoffs and you've got, you know, 10 minutes left in the period and you take that penalty that really puts you behind the eight ball, you've got to trot your PK out there thinking that they're going to save your bacon. And right now there is no confidence in that PK. Mm-hmm. They are leaking like a sieve. And I don't know if that's scheme wise. I don't know if that's a goaltending issue. I don't know what exactly it is, but let's talk about the goaltending too. I mean, Peter DeBoer called out Jones last night, and rightly so. There were two goals that were just of the ugly variety that he allowed. But time and time again, we've heard Sharks media say, oh, well, you know, wins are what's most important. Or, you know, oh, well, it's the way that they're giving up these odd man rushes. You know what? I don't see Carey Price having a problem with defending, you know, really odd man rushes and really high danger chances. You know, I don't see Tuukka Rask having that problem or Yaro Halak having that problem. You know, help
Vasilevsky, like Penn Knight just said, not sure it matters for anyone in the NHL, but Tampa Bay is a big bad wolf. They have a plus 100 goal differential.
Right. And so what does that tell you? It tells you that yes, goaltending has been subpar. It tells you that the defensive scheme has been subpar. But quite honestly, when you've got a team that is reeling, you know, and it's got to be, you know, concerned about its confidence, you need that stud goaltender to really step up and say, you know what, my team is not doing it right now. I need to play on top of my head. And I need to limit this. You know, we've saw, shoot, I remember that Ben Scrivens, shutout with 50 plus saves, you know, and it's just like, look, whatever deity you need to pray to, whatever magical rabbit you need to pull out of your ass, I don't know what it is, but you know what? It's time to stop dicking around. It's time to show that you're elite, and it's really time to, you know, put some faith, restore some faith in Doug Wilson, restore some faith for Peter DeBoer.
There's going to be a lot of questions going the off season if this team bounces out early, and a lot of changes, and it's going to be very, very interesting with that. But that's down the road.
I posed this question a couple days ago, but I'm really starting to think that this team needs to give Cornash a look, and the reason why I say that is because we might need to Cam Ward this bitch.
If this were maybe December or January, I would say yeah. You know, I would say, yeah, let's do that. But you can't. We're 7 games away, and you were going to just go, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas tree and just wave our arms and we magically have a Christmas tree. It's just not going to happen. In Cornash, let's be brutally honest here. Cornash and Bebo have struggled with the Barracuda as of late. They got out to a great start early on, but, I mean, that's just ridiculous that how they've just fallen apart lately. So, let's finish this off. We want to say first off hello to all 59 to 63 people watching This is Teal Town After Dark. We do this after every game, so make sure, if you haven't already, subscribe down below. Make sure you hit that notification button. We do this after every game, and we appreciate your support. And we'll be here, you know. Matt Dinah, let's sign Nabby.
Yeah,
of course we could sign Nabby. If Nabby was from 2000, it'd be great to be have Nabby again.
Right.
So, no,
but I mean, honestly, that I think a real big jolt or shot across the bow is what this goaltending needs. You thought that came yesterday with the Peter DeBoer remarks, but you know what? Like I said before, I just don't know. I don't know how you get them to engage. I don't know if it's a kick in the ass they need, or if it's a you know, pat on the back and saying it's okay, but. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what ails the goaltending right now.
Precisely. I mean, it's something, and you got to hope, you know, and then you have Hedberg and you have Nabby there. And Andy Man brings up a good point in the chat. We already have Nabby under contract. He's a coach and scout. So, you know, and Steve Cropper would say, then everybody would be complaining about Nabby's five hole. Not as much as we complained about Niemi's five hole.
Look, and this is the last thing I'll say for people who are still defending the goaltending. You have to have a hot goaltender going into the playoffs. I mean, that is without a doubt one of the key ingredients in order to win a cup, is you have to have a goaltender who will steal a series. Yep. I mean, the last time that we saw a goaltender not do that was Antti Niemi for the Blackhawks.
And just as you say that, Alex Martinet is in the chat. So,
yeah, so you think about Matt Murray, you think about Flower, you think about
you think about Jonas Hiller in 2009. You think about Joen Rolofsson in 2006. You think about
CG.
You think about Marty Turco in 2008. I mean, one of these days you have to have a hot goalie that's actually wearing teal, not the opponent.
Right, and like, you know, we have Hipper,
as Andy Man says.
Colby, yeah, exactly, and like we joke, but this is the reason why we have the hashtag Cam Ward this bitch,
right?
Because. Right. You know, it's just the way that it is. So, you know, honestly, for everybody who's still defending the goaltending, look, you know, you can defend the goaltending until you're out in the second round, you know?
And a lot of good points being made in the chat. Rocket making a good point. You think about the defensive cores in front of these guys. That's a great point. You have to have a hot defense, too. Anthony Sanchez saying it. Remember Pittsburgh, remember Caps. They had goaltender issues, but they won the cup and corrected. Yeah, last year, Grubauer was the starting netminder for Washington, and the Jackets go up 2-0. They go bring in Holtby. Next thing you know, they beat the Golden Knights to win the cup. So,
right. A key ingredient is goaltending. And right now that key ingredient is, you know, Wilton on the vine to me. And you know what? The defensive scheme doesn't help, but you also have to have confidence in your goaltender in order to make stellar, you know, offensive plays from your defensemen.
Right.
They have to feel confident enough to pinch and to make a good up pass and to make a bomb from the point. They have to have confidence that if they fumble the puck, which quite frankly, we're seeing a lot of that this year from our blue line. You know, if they fumble the puck and there's a 2-on-1, or if there's a, you know, a 1-on-1 and a person takes a shot from your blue line or whatever, far out shots, you have to feel like, boy, that puck going over high side glove isn't going to go in. And right now that's just not the case. I mean, look at tonight's winning goal in overtime. And you know, we look at tonight's winning goal in overtime. Yes, it's a well-placed shot, but you also have to be able to make those kind of saves. And I there is no other way around it for me.
Yeah. I'm guessing this is AJ that's posing in Steel Town. I just want to see what everyone says and who everyone blames if the most talented Sharks team on paper gets bounced in the first round. And yeah, there's a lot of fingers that'll be pointed, but everybody's got to point at each other because this is probably the most offensively talented team in franchise history. When we've seen that with all the goals they've scored, you can blame the forwards, you can blame the defense, you can blame the goalies. Rocket wants to blame Pierre. Andy Mon wants to blame Pierre DeBoer. We haven't heard officially about a contract extension on that one. That one remains to be seen. So Chris saying goaltender has to be reliable. You can't get below average goal in the playoffs. Felix saying, here's what I'm going to say to bring a bit ray of positivity to this convo. You never know what's going to happen in playoff hockey. And you know what? I agree. Anthony, yes, we could blame that too, but I'm not going to say it on the air.
Alex bringing up a great point. You know, Šimek, it looked like finally we had a really reliable and steady partner for Burns. You put Ryan back in thinking, okay, maybe he can capture whatever he had last year. He doesn't look right to me. He looks like a player that is scared to lose his spot in the lineup again.
Yeah.
He's not making physical plays.
AJ with a good point. I blame Andrew Kopp. He was a player that fell on Šimek. So that's the case. Come on, Chris. You know better than that. Moving onward with the third period recap. So 2-1, Henrik gets the power play goal. 4:36, Shore takes a penalty for slashing. And then something majorly happened. Landy, they scored on the power play. It was Timo time in Anaheim.
Yeah, and how did we have to score on the power play? By Jumbo taking a shot.
That's right. Jumbo passed it to the net, so he gets an assist along with Brent Burns to tie this game up at 2-2. Things looked good. And then 8:19, Lindholm takes an interference call on Meyer. No diving on that one. We'll see if what happens after that one on there, but Sharks don't do anything. And then at 14:14, probably the most weakest holding calls I've ever seen Melker Carlson takes. At 14:14, he goes to the box. That sets up the go-ahead goal for Raquel, his second of the game, 13th of the season from Fowler and Terry. At 15:05, Ducks lead 3-2. First off, what did you think of the penalty if you saw it? And then secondly, Raquel, again.
Yeah. I think I've beaten the PK horse, you know, pretty much to a bloody pulp. And I think AJ would be proud. But yeah, I mean, the special teams are just not doing it right now. And again, confidence that if you take that penalty late, that you will be able to kill it off. I don't know. I cringe to think what'll happen if this team has to play, you know, a hot Vegas power play going in into the postseason.
Yep. And so that made it 3-2, but there was a key pivotal moment. They had the absolute destructive game in Ottawa. They had the players only meet. They had two players meetings, one that included PDB, one that included DW. Then they go into Montreal, and even Joe Pavelski said that probably is the goal that changed the season from Justin Braun. That was his first of the season. Well, Justin Braun scores again, his second of the season at 17:20. That was a huge goal from Vlasic and Nyquist to tie this game up at 3-3. Bronny, who I think has struggled defensively, but in his 600th NHL game, gets the tying goal for the Sharks in a key pivotal moment there.
Yeah, yeah, and you could see that that lifted the spirits of the team. You know, it really it gave them a little bit of a jolt. You know, it's good to see Bronny, you know, pot that goal. But I kind of want to come back to how many missed shots from the blue line have we seen? You know, it seems like they're intentionally shooting wide, and I don't quite understand that. And you know, front and center two defensemen that come to mind is Vlasic and Ryan. Both of those guys can't hit the broadside of a barn at the moment.
Well, hey, I'm just happy Vlasic can keep the puck in the zone lately. So that's the good part. And he's been on a roll lately too, that which is scary. They mentioned it in pregame about that. But the game ties up at 3-3. They go into overtime, and unfortunately, Jakob Silfverberg with the 23rd goal of his season from Raquel and Fowler. Raquel with a 3-point night wins it for the Ducks 38 seconds into overtime. Your overall thoughts on tonight?
I guess it's good to get this over with now. You know, honestly, like, I don't really, you know, you try and draw a silver lining. I guess you can say that Vlasic continues his point streak. Excuse me. Burns continues his point streak. You know, good to see Bronny make some good physical plays, you know, get the goal. But I mean, Eric, I mean, this seems like a continuation of the disastrous homestand, you know?
Yep.
I don't, you know, it's like T-Mac would say a lot is, you know, there are times when you see that your game is getting sick, and that there will be times where you are going to win games where you shouldn't win, and there are going to be times when you lose games that you should have won. Right now, I can honestly say in this last five games, the Sharks have deserved to lose every one of them. They haven't. There hasn't been that game where you think, you know what, that if they would have just had the bounces, it would be. You know, a totally completely different game. But I don't see that right now. They're not making their own breaks. You know, there seems to be, again, a lack of commitment in the defensive zone, and a lack of commitment to play in five-man units. They look like they're playing individual, you know, hope hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get completely, I mean, I'm pretty negative at the moment, and I think that there's a lot of reason to be. But I think getting Pavelski back and getting Carlson back, whenever they do come, will hopefully be that morale boost that the team needs. But if anything, to me, maybe have a couple of shutouts, you know, to get some confidence back in that goaltending.
Or like what Brody was preaching before, two or fewer at the very least would be vital for this team. It would be good to see something out of it right now, to be honest.
And Steve, you know, Steve is saying, okay, well, now it's not just the goalie. No, it's everybody. It's like tug of war. Everybody has to pull on the rope at the same time, right? It can't just be, oh, the defense needs to step up and play a better scheme. It can't be, oh, the forwards, you know, need to come back defensively, you know, and one thing is going to fix this.
Yep.
This is a systematic breakdown of multiple facets of this team, right? It's a breakdown of the forwards flying high. You know, they're exiting the zone before possession is established. I saw that today multiple times where instead of coming back down into the defensive zone and helping out in a scrum, you have, you know, Sorensen flying high. You have Carlson flying high. You know, they're trying to pull a guy high for that stretch pass. And you know what? It's a good strategy to have when you have the puck. But when you don't have the puck, you know, it doesn't make sense to fly a guy high because you're just crippling yourself in the defensive zone.
Yeah. Oh, Matt Dynan, thank you very much. Puck Guy Stanley Cup Champions tattoo. And that's kind of funny that you mentioned that. 2016, there was a deal and we got two wins close. We were going to go with Randy Hahn's son, Randall. We were all going to get matching tattoos. So hopefully that'll happen very soon. And that. So thank you for the donation, Matt. Appreciate it. Did you want to finish up before I go over the final stats?
No, why don't you go ahead and go over the final stats?
I saw the donation. I wasn't sure if I cut you midstream. So, final stats, 26-21 in favor of the Sharks on shots on goal, face-off wins. Ducks took that 58-42. Power play is going to continue to be an issue. Yes, the Sharks did go 1-for-5 on the power play, but they allowed 2 power play goals to Anaheim on 3 chances. Hits 33-23 in favor of Anaheim. Block shots. Here's a telltale story. Sharks had 8 blocks. Ducks had 22. So not only were they missing the net, they were getting shots blocked. Giveaways 14-10 in favor of San Jose. Brent Burns, who hits his career high 77 points. That's a new high for him. He also passes Larry Robinson and Nicholas Lidstrom for most assists by a defenseman 34 or older at 64. Nyquist assists on bronze goal. It gives him a career high 55 points. So kudos to him. Nyquist slowly and surely getting things done here. You just hope that there's more coming and he's saving it for the playoffs. Time on ice tonight, it was pretty telltale. 10:43 for Lukáš Radil, Jonas Donskoy 10:44. I think it's more obvious than anything else now that that Donskoy is really in the PDB doghouse and he needs to get things going. He had no shots, obviously no points, and only had one giveaway. Otherwise, it looked like it was an offer in there tonight. Kevin LeBanc gets on the board. Meyer, along with Braun. Vlasic with 2 assists tonight, so give him that. Sorensen and Jumbo and Nyquist with assists there. Dell, 17 of 21, 8-10 save percentage tonight in this game. Tough one. Jakob Silverberg, a goal and 2 assists for 3 points. Ricard Raquel, 2 goals and assists. And an assist for 3 points on the night for him. John Gibson, 23 of 26. Where the hell was that at the frickin' All-Star game, John Gibson? Damn it. Seriously. So, Sharks lose. They are on a 5-game winless streak. So, Landy, is it time?
It's time for the reach around.
It's what? What are you talking about? Seriously?
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
Hey, Laurel, you know how you wanted a really quick reach around? Well, here you go. Wild beat the Capitals 2-1. Greenway and Kunin with the goals for the Minnesota Wild. Dumnik gets the win. Connolly gets the only goal for the Caps as Holtby loses. And that's it for your NHL wraparound on this night.
Yeah, man. Gosh, I don't know what the heck we're gonna do because you know it that took so long to do.
I know. So we'll touch up on this for you. Maybe. So while the San Jose Sharks have the weekend off, your San Jose Barracuda are going to be in Tucson as they take on the Tucson Roadrunners. So you'll be looking
out for... Thank you, Laurel.
Thank you, Laurel. Appreciate it, my dear. The Barracuda will be in Tucson Saturday at 7:05 and then Sunday at 4:05. So weekend of Barracuda, you can listen to Nick Nolenberger on the Sharks app or AM 1220 KDOW, or just click on the How to Listen link on the sjbarracuda.com site for them for their next home game. It's not going to be a bit because March Madness is taking over the tag, but their next home game is Friday, March 29th at 7 o'clock as they take on the Ontario Reign. So be on the lookout for that one there. So that's the latest there. In other news really quick, the Spanish speaking Sharks fans, you have a source now. The Sharks broadcasts are now on the SAP button on NBC Sports California. You also have the Spanish audio on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, which is cool.
Are they on the radio?
I don't think they have a station yet, but I believe it's just on the app at the moment.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what though? That's great. You know, we did hear that earlier in the season. They had that little trial run. But honestly, I mean, look, you're looking at a market that's really untapped, and especially in Northern California with the large Hispanic population. You know, I've taken my grandfather, who is from Jalisco, Mexico, to a Sharks game, and he loves it. I mean, it's reminds him of soccer. You know, it's just that high up tempo kind of game, and criminally underserved. So it's good to see the Sharks step up and really, you know, embrace, you know, the culture in and around the Bay Area.
Have you heard a goal call in Spanish for the Sharks?
I have.
You have? I was hoping you'd say you didn't.
But you're going to play it anyways, right?
Yes, that's right. So there you go. Enjoy this, folks.
En esa acción y ahora nuevamente aquí viene la jugada, puede ser aquí el tiro, gol, gol.
Now all we need
de San José aparece muy bien allí Timo Meyer, 1-0 San José.
Yeah, all we need now is just like Timo, or actually, what was it? It was the jumbo slide at center ice, right? For every right. time we score a goal.
Right? Totally. Or that old Theo Fleury slide we saw in the playoffs. So,
yeah. You know what? It's awesome. And I think the other team that is doing it is Vegas. They're also having a Hispanic broadcast. So you know what, it's good on the Western teams, you know, especially the Southern California, Northern California and Vegas, you know, to really embrace that and really grow the game, because right now that's just the name of hockey, is to get it out there. Like we all say, hockey is for everybody. It doesn't matter, you know, exactly where you're from or what your background is. I mean, hell, Austin Matthews is half Hispanic and, you know, heir apparent to the captaincy in Toronto. And
that's San Ramon native Austin Matthews.
Exactly. So, you know, it just goes to show you that even a number one overall talent can be of a different kind of ethnic makeup. So it's good to see.
Absolutely. And so in all you can do is expand your fan base, which I think the Sharks definitely need and are desired for. I know Daryl Martin messaging me, Vegas and Chicago have Spanish language broadcasts.
Yeah. So. Yeah. In Chicago, there's a really robust Hispanic population there. I mean, another one that I think might even behoove the Sharks is Vietnamese. You know, with the large population in San Jose, especially, that's an underserved community that could definitely, mm-hmm. You know, see some strides in bringing, you know, more people of Vietnamese descent to the tank. So, you know, any way to grow the fan base, but these are baby steps, and they're steps in the right direction.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting. So I guess it starts on the 25th. So be on the lookout for that. A couple of questions in the chat before we get out of here. Matt Dine, what would you guys give up for the Sharks to win a Stanley Cup? Simple. Mikhail Bodker, Chris Tierney, Dylan DeMello, Josh Norris, and a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
that's what I'm hoping for.
All the draft picks at this point. Speaking of draft picks, Joachim Blichfield just won the WHL scoring title, 7th round pick. And look at that. The Sharks, you know, compress a piece of coal into a diamond again. So, you know, who needs first round picks?
Yeah, you know, they keep doing that. And it's always something special and always great to see them pull off a bunch of these. And you look at you know, Sasha Chmelevsky, mm-hmm. and Ivan Chekovich.
Yep.
I mean, it's one of those times where you just want to see them do their thing and then just light it up and then come in. And hopefully once Ottawa season is over in the OHL, that they get to, well, I would hope they get to jump back over, but that's a question I would have to ask our Kevin, Ian, and Jerick around for that one. So
yeah, for sure. Just quickly, yes, Austin Matthews is half Hispanic, guys. His mom. They did a couple of interviews. It was hilarious, but they did some interviews on TSN when he went first overall, and they panned over to his mom, and she looks like my mother. So, you know, it goes to show you, though, where hockey products are coming from, and especially in the United States. You know, heck, we're going to have you know, the Suzuki's come into the league. We've got Josh Hosang in the league. You know, just people of completely different ethnic backgrounds that you wouldn't think would play hockey or making strides to do that. So, you know, the more talent that we can get in and challenge Canada to under 20s or, you know, gold medals or whatever, it's, you know, I'm fine by that. It looks like Eric has got the standings up. So, Eric, let's go ahead and see how bad the Sharks crap the bed tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of have to look at things and look up on the bright side and look down on the rough side here. So the Sharks have 7 games left. Vegas and Calgary now have a game in hand on the Sharks. The Sharks pick up a point. They're at 95 with 7 games left. Calgary is at 99 with 8 games left. Vegas at 89 with 8 games left. If you want to look at magic numbers, the maximum that the Sharks can do is 109, which means Calgary has a magic number of 11 to clinch the Pacific Division. For the Sharks to clinch home ice, Vegas has a max at 105. So the Sharks have a magic number of 11 to clinch home ice in the first round. So that's essentially five wins and a loss in their last 7 games. So you need a combination of Vegas losing points and the Sharks picking up points to make sure that happens. Calgary, the same thing. Calgary needs Sharks to lose a point like they did tonight and pick up wins there. So it'll be interesting to see. Winnipeg, Nashville, St. Louis, that stays the same as there was only 2 games in the NHL tonight. Minnesota, with their win over Washington, leapfrogs Colorado and the Desert Dogs into the wild card spot. So, and I'm not going to be able to do this like Rocket does. If the playoffs started tomorrow, San Jose would get Vegas and have home ice. Calgary would get Minnesota. Winnipeg would get Dallas, and Nashville and St. Louis would play each other. So the series are fairly regionalized here, Landy. I mean, there's nobody traveling Timbuktu so far, but things can still change as Colorado and Arizona are battling the Wild right now, and it's getting close, but maybe a little too late for Chicago, Edmonton, and Vancouver.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we're going to see that all-out dogfight between Colorado and Arizona. I think, unfortunately, the goose is cooked for the Blackhawks. You know what? It was good to see them battle back, but at the end of the day, with them in Vancouver, it's just a little too little, too late. I'd love to see Arizona get in, and the reason why I say that is because that franchise has just been beaten down so much. This would be just an awesome, you know, just an awesome feel good story, especially with the amount of games that they've lost. I mean, to even be in contention this far, Rick Tocchet's done an amazing job. He'd have my Jack Adams vote. And so, you know, I think, you know, I'd really like to see them be rewarded, and especially a team that's been rebuilding for a while. Minnesota to me is just a team that is just stuck in that middle zone. You know, Mikko Koivu being out does not help. You have a little bit of a resurgent Parise, but you know, he's not what he was. And Ryan Suter, I mean, they will play him into the ground. But I mean, after that, the team is it's just middling. You know what? There's no really better way to describe it, but middling. So, yeah.
Well, in case you missed anything and we want to watch this again, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. And of course, smash that subscribe button to our YouTube channel. Got a lot of posts up there. Felix Chow doing his Growing the Game series. Be on the lookout for that, along with a few other things. So definitely do check us out on the website, TealTownUSA.com. So with that, we'll be back with you on Monday night as the Sharks rekindle their old rival with the Red Wings. That's a 7:30 face-off on NBC Sports California. I'm not mistaken on that one, right? Because I know a lot of we're going to get to the point where I believe it starts this week that the Sharks will go on to NBC Sports California Plus. So be on the lookout for that one.
Right, because of baseball, right?
Yeah, baseball starts up. So I think be on the lookout for that, folks. So just a heads up on that, and I think it starts this week because of baseball.
So, you know, this year I have told the family that after the first round and we lose our regional broadcasters, I think I'll be switching to the Canadian broadcast this year.
Well, I mean, if we get Chris Cuthbert in the second round, that'd be nice because I think Cuthbert does an excellent job, especially if he can get paired with Ferraro.
Yeah, exactly. I've always liked Ray. You know, he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I've always really liked him. He's got some really good insight. As long as it's not Doc Emmerich, I'm happy.
My goodness. Waffle parted.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that, we will leave you for this. Mr. Landy, thank you very much. People have noticed that you cleaned up the room a little bit, so your final thoughts and where people can find you.
My final thoughts are let's pop this clutch and, you know, get it into, you know, third gear, fourth gear, because they need to find that extra gear right now. And it seems like we're kind of stuck in the mud in reverse. So, yeah, you know what? The guys just need to tighten up. All facets of the game really just need to be analyzed. They need to figure out, you know, what kind of commitment they're going to have to playing these last seven games in the season. And yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. But as far as where you can find me using my first name, that's E-R-I-K, last name L-A-N-D-I, on all of the social media garbage.
Thank you very much, Landy. Appreciate it. And everything as always. I am, of course, PuckGuy14 on the Twitter and the Instagram. You can follow me there, providing lots of timely tweets and information on my puppies. I don't know. But check me out there. Of course, hit us up on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and SoundCloud for Teal Town USA. Again, we'll be back with you on Monday night following Sharks and Red Wings. That's on NBCS California. And we'll be back here for that. So until Monday night, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal.